Here in a moment. Hey guys, haven't seen you in a while. Here in a moment, we're going to be heading back to junior church. So it's for kindergarten through fifth grade, and then we also have preschool and a nursery. And it's in the back hallway back here. In a moment, you'll see me take the kids through these doors, and then we'll head back there. So if you wonder where we take your kids, that'll be where it is. Let's see, this morning. Oh, man. Crud. Well, I thought I brought flowers, but all I brought was some seeds, some marigold seeds. Man, I could really use a flower for this. I could use those, but I need this one right here. Could you make that grow for me real quick? Thank you. So when we think about flower, what? No, I just need you to make that grow for me real quick. So for this illustration, when we think about flower, what? What? It's seeds. It's everything you need. All the stuff that you would need for a plant is right here. No. I need this. All right. So we can't make seeds grow, can we? No, we can't. We need you need soil, you need water, but even then, you can't guarantee that it's going to grow. If you have my thumb, it won't. But you know that there's a lot that goes into growing flowers, isn't there? I appreciate you trying to help. I do. Thank you for giving me suggestions and trying, but the power isn't there. Paul talks about this when we talk about sharing Jesus. Hopefully we all want everybody around us to become Christians. It's the one thing that kind of sets us apart is we're not trying to take over the world. We're not trying to destroy our enemies. We're trying to win people to our side. We want people to become Christians. We want people to follow Jesus. We want them to share in the same joy that we found in the creator of the universe. But we can't always make that happen, right? And sometimes it's hard. But what we can do is we can plant seeds, right? Like, you can't make this grow, but like you said, if you had some soil and some water, you could. You could get it started, right? You could get it out in the sun. So there's certain things that we can do for those around us. We can love people around us. We can share about the gospel. We can talk to people. We can love on them. We can serve them. There's a lot of things that we can do to show people who God really is. But ultimately, it's between them and God. And that is pretty hard sometimes, especially for our loved ones, especially for those that we're really close to. It's hard to be able to say, God, please make these seeds grow. I've planted and I've gone as far as I can. And we spend a lot of time in prayer, praying that God will make them grow. And I'm going to leave you with that thought as we turn it over to Fred. And we head back to junior church, back in this hallway. All right.
Thank you, brother. Good morning. If you will, please, what I want you to do, I want you to turn to Matthew 13, and just kind of mark it, Matthew 13, 9, 3 through 9, and put a marker there. And after you mark that, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll be reading that in just a few moments here. 1 Corinthians 3. You know, as you read through the book of Acts, you will see the amazing growth of the church of Jesus Christ. It all started on the day of Pentecost, just 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, where Luke records in Acts 2 verse 41 that about 3,000 were baptized, 3,000 souls were baptized into Christ. And then Luke adds in verse 47, he says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I mean, every day people were being brought to Jesus Christ. And even if that's one person a day, that means there were 365 people brought to Christ, you know, every year. Every year. Yet the book of Acts reveals that there were a lot more people brought to Christ than just one a day. I'm just going to read a few passages here, okay? Acts 4 verse 4 says, the number of men grew to be about 5,000. And that's not even including the women, so there were many more. Acts 5 verse 14 says, believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Acts 6 verse 1, the number of disciples was multiplying. Acts 11 verse 21, a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Acts 14 verse 1, a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. Acts 14 verse 1, a great number, Acts 16 verse 5, churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Acts 17 verse 12, many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and Greek men. And then in Acts 18 verse 8 it says, many of the Corinthians believed and were baptized. So we read through the book of Acts and we read all of these people coming to Jesus Christ. Now, what is so amazing about the phenomenal growth of the early church are the very people that God used to establish the church and to spread the gospel throughout Judea and beyond. The main spokesman on the day of Pentecost when the church was established was Simon Peter. Okay? He was the main spokesman, but yet just 53 days earlier, he was cussing up a storm and openly denying that he even knew who Jesus was, even though he was one of his disciples and one of his closest friends. And yet God used Peter the denier to preach the first gospel sermon that brought at least 3,000 people to Christ. Approximately 4 years after the Pentecost, the church experienced great persecution after the stoning of Stephen for preaching Jesus the Christ, as recorded in Acts chapter 7. But God used the persecution of the Jerusalem church to spread the gospel throughout the Judea using ordinary people like you and me to share Christ wherever they settled. In fact, in Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says that those who had been scattered because of persecution preached the word of God wherever they went. Now the Greek word that Luke used for preached, it does not refer to someone standing behind a pulpit and giving a sermon like I'm doing this morning. It just simply means to proclaim good news. Wherever the people went, remember last week, as you go, wherever the people went, they shared the good news of Jesus Christ wherever they went to let people know about who Jesus was and what Jesus had done for them. But not only did God use a denier and ordinary people to spread his word, he also used a persecutor. In the very next chapter, we find a man in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, Saul from Tarsus, who is breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's church, against the Lord's people. I mean, while on his way to the town of Damascus to find, you know, Christians, men and women, to bring back to Jerusalem to be imprisoned, tortured, and possibly executed, Jesus Christ appears to Paul on the road to Damascus. So Jesus, the very one Saul didn't believe in, was truly the Son of God. And when Paul gave his life to Jesus in baptism, he was then known as Paul, that he became a preacher of the gospel and spread the gospel wherever he went. And we know that he planted at least 14 churches in the Roman Empire and brought many souls to Jesus Christ. And now this brings us to our text. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 7. Listen to Paul. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Now, the context here is really important, because Paul is writing to the church of Corinth and addressing a division within that church. There was disunity because some of the members were clinging to certain preachers, especially Paul and another gospel preacher named Apollos, who were both instrumental in bringing many of them to Jesus Christ. And yet Paul wanted the Corinthian church to understand that if they were going to be clinging to anyone, well, they should be clinging to Jesus Christ and put all their focus on him and not on Paul, not on Apollos, nor anyone else. So Paul tells them, we are nobody. Did you get that? He says, we are nobody. We're just slaves. We're just slaves of Christ through whom you came to believe. Paul goes on to say, I'm a simple seed planter. That's all I am. I'm just a seed planter. I just went around planting the seed of God's word. Apollos came behind me and he watered it. But the one who really matters is God. He's the one who makes it grow. Amen? God is the one who makes it grow. So from Pentecost 2,000 years ago when the church was established until now in 2025, God has been using simple planters and waterers like you and me to spread and cultivate the word of God in the hearts of people, but it is he who makes it grow. Not us, but him. Not Peter, not Paul, not Apollos, not you, not me. Only God can make it grow. So I want us to begin by taking a look at, first of all, number one, if you're keeping notes, number one, that we are to be mere planters and waterers, okay? Mere planters and waterers. The last two Saturdays, several of us have been in the Bean Creek neighborhood knocking doors, inviting people to come to our Easter services on April 20th. That's what we've been doing for the past couple of Saturdays. And for some of you, this was the first time that you've ever done anything like this. You've never done it before. There certainly aren't any experts here, okay, including myself. I mean, I have been, over the years, I have been on several door-knocking campaigns, but yet each campaign is different. With new people, new challenges, they're all different. They're all different. We have one thing that we do as a door knocker. I hand out a script that I want everybody to try to just follow a little bit. It's just a guideline that we are to say when somebody comes to the door. You know, that we hand them a card and we invite them. We tell them who we are. And we invite them to our Easter services. But undoubtedly, as we were out there knocking doors, talking to people, there were some missteps. There are things that we learn through experience that you can never learn from a book. You can never learn from a classroom. And like any evangelistic effort, there are things that we like and things that we don't like. With each door that we knock, you know, then we learn what to say and what not to say, you know, what to do and not what to do. But you see, again, none of us are experts. And there's certainly no one here whose way is better than anybody else's. We are mere servants trying to do our very best to be faithful to Christ's command to go make disciples. And God can take our feeble efforts as a planter and water and make it grow. We are not in control of the growth part. Only God is. He's the only one in control of that. He just asked us to go work in his harvest field, and he will take care of the rest. Now, in a parable, Jesus talks about the simple task of a seed planter. And so I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Your Bible should already be marked there. In Matthew chapter 13, I want you to listen to Jesus in a parable, beginning with verse 3. And then Jesus told them, his disciples, many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, the picture we see in this parable is that of a common farmer. He's just a common farmer. He didn't have the tools to properly till the ground to prepare the seed. So he just simply takes a bag of seed, and then a handful after a handful of the seed, he just flings it on the ground. And because of the haphazard way that he's out there, throwing the seed, some of it fell on a hard-packed pathway. Others fell among rocks. Some fall up on thorny ground, and then some fall on good soil, on fertile ground, good soil, and the seed takes root and brings a bountiful crop. Now, of course, the seed in this parable represents what? The Word of God. Verse 19 tells us, and also Luke chapter 8, verse 11, that the seed is the Word of God. Jesus is telling the parable to illustrate how God intends for us, you and me, ordinary people, how he intends for us to be spreading the gospel across the land and bring people to salvation. It is our responsibility as followers of Christ to share his good news with people around us. We need to be talking to people about Jesus. Our concern is not where the seed falls. Did you get that from the parable? Our concern is not where the seed falls, but only that we are out there spreading the seed of God's Word, sharing the gospel, and let God do the rest. Now, when knocking doors in our neighborhood, we come across people from all walks of life. Some are receptive, some aren't. I remember not yesterday, but the week before, as Cheryl and I were out there knocking doors, somebody yelled from inside, "Get away from us, Satan!" So, I just left the card and we went next door. The person didn't come out, didn't give us an opportunity to talk to the person or anything like that. We just let the card on the door and went to the other house. That's all we did. So some people are going to be receptive and some people are not. Our concern is not who opens the door. Let me say that again. Our concern is not who opens the door, but only that we invite whoever is at the door to come worship with us on Easter, hoping and praying that they'll come hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our only concern. That whoever comes that door, we are going to invite them to come here Easter Sunday to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are merely seed planters. We're just merely planting seeds. That's all we're doing. The seed planter in the parable had no concern at all where the seed fell. He's just out there just flinging seed, man. That's all he's doing. I mean, he knew that not every seed was going to find good soil and bear fruit. He knew that. But he trusted God that some would and will produce a bountiful crop. And that's what we are to be doing as well. But secondly, we need to understand through it all that it is God who makes things grow. Will you say that with me? It is God who makes things grow. Now, again, church, the power of bringing people to Christ is not in us. It's not in you. It's not in me. Even though I'm a preacher of the gospel, the power is not in me. God will use us to spread the seed of his word wherever we go, but whether a person responds to our efforts is not dependent upon you and me. It's not dependent upon us. It doesn't matter how hard a farmer works or how long he stays out in the field, the crop depends upon the power that is not within the farmer, but within the seed itself. That's where the power is. That's what the Apostle Paul wanted the Christians at Corinth to understand. I mean, here they were clinging to preachers, following them instead of Christ. You know, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 12. And Paul said, really? You're following us? I mean, we're nothing. We're just seed planters and waterers. That's all we are. I mean, the farmer in Jesus' parable is pictured just being out in the field, spreading seed all over the place, not concerned about where it lands, but only trusting that the seed will accomplish what God intends and brings forth a bountiful crop. That's all he's doing. He's just trusting God through the entire process. And although this is known as the parable of the sower, it's really not the parable of the sower at all. That's not where the emphasis is, not on the sower, but the emphasis is on the seed, the word of God, and how it penetrates the hearts of those who receive it. In fact, Isaiah writes, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55, 10 through 11, writes this. He said, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word, God says, that goes out from my mouth. Notice what he says. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, I think many Christians do not share their faith, God's word, with others because they are so afraid of messing up. They're afraid of messing up. And therefore, you know, they're fearful that they, for some reason, may cause people not to come to Christ because I messed up trying to share my faith. Yet Jesus, this parable, and Paul in his letter to the Corinthian church, wants Christians to understand that the salvation of others is not up to us. It is not up to us. Jesus just wants us to be planters and waterers, and he'll take care of the rest. So being planters and waterers is simply letting people know that we're followers of Christ. It's letting people know what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's what it means to be a planter and a waterer. It doesn't matter, you know, how you plant and water, whether you're out there knocking doors like we've been doing for the past couple of Saturdays, or you're just you know, we're inviting people to come to Easter services, or maybe you're just out there talking to a friend, and you're just sharing with your friend how good God has been to you. Just as long as you're letting people know about Jesus, that's all that matters. That's all that God requires of us, is that we let people know what Jesus has done for us. Now, Jesus does point out that not everyone will accept the Word of God. In fact, there will be some who will even accept the Word of God who will fall away. That's what the parable tells us. And that certainly saddens us, especially when we have loved ones that just we can beg with them and talk to them and, you know, share with them Jesus, but yet we have those loved ones who just simply will not accept Christ. Do you have loved ones like that? No matter how much you talk to them about Jesus, they simply refuse to give their lives to Jesus Christ. And it saddens us to see some who have you know, given their lives to Christ in baptism and yet for some reason begin to fall away and just fall away and return to the world. It saddens us. And all we can do is to pray for them and encourage them, but that's all we can do. That's all we can do. However, the beauty of God's Word, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that everyone, the footpath, the rocky soil, and the thorny soil, all get the same shot at the seed of God as does the good soil. That's what we see here. Everybody has the same opportunity to turn their lives over to Jesus. I mean, that's what the Great Commission is, isn't it? That's the Great Commission. God wants His Word scattered all over the earth because it has power to take root even in the harshest ground. And once it takes root, it can bear fruit. Now, it may take a while, okay? It may take a while for God's Word to germinate in a person's heart, but remember, the Bible says that God's Word does not return to Him empty, all right? So we're just out there talking to people, sharing Christ, inviting people to worship, all these things here, and God's Word does not return to Him empty. But also in planting the seed of God's Word wherever we go, there are going to be some people who hear the Word of God that we think will never, that person will never accept God's Word. I mean, there are people like that, and they may not. But at least they have the same opportunity to hear God's Word. I think that so often what happens is that we see some people that for some reason we are reluctant to share God's Word with because we already have made up our minds that person will never obey the gospel. But I have seen people give their lives to Christ that I thought would never, ever obey the gospel. And it wasn't because of my effort. It was somebody else who took that chance to share with that person the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to understand. That's why we see Jesus and the gospels going to places and people that the religious leaders of the day thought were beyond saving. In fact, many of them thought that they weren't even worth saving. Don't even go to those people. But we got to understand that these were the very people that Jesus went to let them know the good news that He came to share. And who were the kind of people that Jesus sought after? I mean, Jesus went to the poor, the sick, the helpless. He went to prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners. So God doesn't seem to be concerned about where the seed falls, okay? He's not concerned about the soil in which the seed falls. He is not concerned. He's confident of the power of the seed. The soil doesn't matter, friends. It's the harvest that Jesus Christ is looking for. Garfield Christian Church has been in this location for 65 years now, next month. 65 years right here on 1751 Walker Avenue, yes. And it's been in the Bean Creek neighborhood for over 100 years, in the Bean Creek neighborhood. And a lot of souls have been saved through the efforts of this church, planters and waterers over the years. And I truly believe that there is a reason that this church is still here. Churches have closed their doors all over Indianapolis. All over Indianapolis. But we are still here. Amen. We're still here. And I wholeheartedly believe it's because there is still much to do in our neighborhood. God is not done with us yet. Okay? And maybe what he's been waiting for is for this church to finally get serious about sharing the good news with our neighbors here in Bean Creek. Maybe that's what God is saying. Finally, somebody's doing something. And the God who helped the early church grow by leaps and bounds is the same God that we serve today. And he's the same God who wants to see people saved today. Do you believe that? That's what God wants. And God will make things grow, but he uses you and me to get the job done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, the Apostle Paul again said this. He said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And then Jesus tells us in Matthew 9, 37 and 38, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest to send out workers and to his harvest field. Friends, God is the one who indeed causes the growth. But he needs planters, waterers, and harvesters to be out in his field. Okay? That's what he needs. And really, you know, we got to understand that we have been given the ability to be one or all of these. Every person here has been given that ability. Some of you are planters. You're planters. You have the ability to very casually share Christ with others. You pique people's interest by saying simple things like, this has been a tough week. This has been a tough week. I wouldn't have made it if not for my church family. Or to say something like, you know, Jesus sure came through for me today. Or maybe, you know, life would sure be lonely if it wasn't for God. I mean, it's just a way that you are out there spreading the seed, and you are good at spreading the seed wherever you go. Some of you are waterers, cultivators. You encourage those who are down. You invite people to your home to get to know them better. You look for ways that you can, you know, develop friendships, to become friends and to befriend others. People come to you for advice because they see Jesus in you. You look for opportunities to cultivate Jesus in the hearts of others. And then there are those of you, some of you are harvesters. Harvesters. You have a deep passion for the lost. You're able to talk seriously with people about their salvation. You love to sit across from people and to study the Bible with somebody one-on-one. And you sense when people are close to making a decision about giving their lives to Jesus Christ, and you have the ability to encourage them to do so. So whatever your ability is, God can use you in his harvest field to bring lost people to Jesus. That's what God wants of us. So do you really believe that God still wants Garfield Christian Church to grow spiritually and numerically? Then we need to be willing then to let God work through us and start sharing his faith, our faith with others. So what I ask you to do is just don't give up. Don't give up. When I was going to Bible college, we had to attend two Bible campaigns every year before I could graduate. So I had to attend eight Bible campaigns, or I would not be able to graduate. And these Bible campaigns consisted of knocking doors and sharing your faith and talking to people about Jesus, you know, and it was just all that. There was usually a gospel meeting that was going on, and so we went to different cities and towns and states and knocking on doors and, you know, inviting people to the revival, you know, to the meeting and just hoping to be able to set up Bible studies and share people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through these efforts, many, many people were brought to Jesus. But I do recall one person, and I shared this with you before, but I recall one person that as I'm out knocking doors, this guy comes to the door that I immediately thought, man, look at this dude. You know, he comes there, and he's got his shirt off. He's wearing cut jeans, you know, real short jeans. This is back in the 80s, by the way. And he's wearing these short jeans, and he's holding a can of beer. And I can tell he's rather happy, okay? And so he's got this can of beer, and he goes, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" And what I did immediately, I'm thinking, "Man, do we really want this guy to come to this church? I mean, look at him, you know." So what I did, and this is wrong. This is so wrong, and believe me, I have asked God to forgive me. But I looked at his door number, and say it was 916. I said, "Oh man, I was looking for 918. I'm sorry," and I just went next door. But I was so concerned that he might come to church with his shirt off, you know, and short, you know, can of beer. "Hey, where do you want me to sit, preacher?" You know, I mean, I had no idea. But this is, I think, our problem at times, is because we make judgment of who is and is not worthy to hear the gospel of Christ. We make that judgment. And the parable of the sower, or the parable of the seed of God's word, says, man, you just go out there and spread the seed and let God take care of the rest. It's not our judgment to make. God says, "I just want you planting. You just go out there and plant and step back and watch me work." Friends, that's what my prayer is for Garfield Christian Church. I don't know what's going to happen as a result of our knocking doors, you know, the past two Saturdays. We're going to do it again this coming Saturday. We're going to be back out there, if the Lord is willing, back out there knocking doors again. We're on the south side this year. We're talking to people, praying with people, you know, sharing with others. We're trying to let people know who we are and what we're about, and we hand them information, and we just hope and pray that some will say, "Man, what Garfield Christian Church Easter Sun starts with a breakfast? Yeah, man, I'll come for that. Yeah, I'll stay." Man, we're just hoping that we're going to have people coming here on Easter Sunday as a result of our efforts of planting seed. And if they don't, it doesn't mean that, you know, that it was all for nothing. Because God says, "I'm still working. I'm still working." Who knows what might happen? You know, earlier my Grant was talking about Carrie. He's not here this morning. Carrie is interesting. He's an interesting kind of guy. But Carrie was, we met him through our last door knocking campaign last year. And he's been coming here. Carrie is the one who has been driving me around. First, to drive me, Cheryl and Kathy around, and also been driving Ben. Ben and I went together yesterday and drives us around. And we would be out there and, you know, knocking doors, and then we go next door and things like that. So after we move on to the next door, Carrie hops out of his pickup truck and goes there and just starts talking to these guys again, knocks on their door and talks to them and, you know, everything. We met a guy yesterday who was carrying in his groceries. You know, that's what he was doing. He just pulled in carrying his groceries, and, you know, Ben and I were talking to him, telling him who we are, things like that. And I asked, "Can we help you with the groceries?" And he said, no, I'm fine. He's an older gentleman. So we went next door, and here comes Carrie out of his pickup truck, you know, helping a guy carry in his groceries. You know, we knocked doors where people didn't answer. You know, you knock a few times, and then again, you just leave a card to go next door. And Carrie, then they would come out after we're already a house or two down, and Carrie would see them come out, and sure enough, man, he would go right up there, you know, and talk to them some more. If you don't know this yet, Carrie is a talker, okay? He's a talker. But man, it's just, we're just planting. And we planted, but Carrie just went back and just watered it some more, you know? And who knows what God is going to do with that? We just trust God through the entire process. You just give it to God. Because God is the one who does what? Makes things grow. God is the one. So we're just trusting God. We're going to be singing this invitation song. During this invitation song, it's an opportunity for us to look just deep within our own hearts, our own souls. Maybe there's some things that you've been struggling with. One thing I love about this church, this is a church that will just surround people with love. It doesn't matter what your concern is, what your struggle is. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your history. It just doesn't matter. We are a church that just wants to let you know that Jesus loves you. He loves you, and we're here to help you and to pray for you. And so if we can pray for you this morning, we want to be able to do that. Maybe you're you want to have the courage to be able to talk to people about Jesus, and you haven't had that courage. Let us pray with you about that this morning. Whatever that need might be, we want to be there for you as together we stand and we sing.